He was never mushy. He said he had doctor's mind in putting down what he wanted to say. I haven't heard from you for 3 days, but I expect to in the next day or so, and then I will probably get several letters. He was always talking about his mail. I suppose that you get my letters in small groups. Sometimes I did, at intervals also. Saturday night, we had a movie here, but it was a dismal failure. It was a worn-out picture, and the soundtrack mostly just sounded like static. And I also don't think the sound box was perfectly adjusted. The film, being old, was dark and hard to see also. What a lousy movie. The Colonel was quite put out, and we hope to have better luck the next time, as these movies are scheduled for once a week. They're American films. We examined the colored boys this morning and only found one additional case of scabies. That's the itch. Last Thursday, while we were having tea, this occurs at 3:30 p.m. each afternoon. A tall blonde soldier came in and asked to see the dermatologist about chilblains in his hands. When he turned around, I recognized him as Bill Ramey, a pre-medic with me at KU, whom I had not seen for 10 years. Isn't that something? Reminded me to tell you a not very nice story when we finish this that happened. He gave up medicine and has been connected with Eastman Kodak in the East for several years. He has been over here since September 42 and says, I am the first American he has seen that he has known since he arrived. And 42, since September 42. I guess this letter is for, 43. I don't know. And says, he is a first lieutenant.
Oh, it says here, 43.
Oh, then he'd been over since 42. Oh. And says, the first American he has seen, he is a first lieutenant. I had a letter from Uncle Warren 4 days ago saying Mother received my safe arrival card on December 23rd, but as yet I have not heard from her. I love you as always and surely miss you. Love, David. He just put a sentence or something at the bottom of it.
I just want to say, I think it says a lot, just reading all your grandmother's journals and letters and everyone's letters to her. I just think that really speaks to who she is, because she wrote like crazy during World War One to Uncle Sid and all of her nephews and everybody she knew over there. And the fact that that was the very first letter that your husband received, I think that speaks to her character.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
If I were not rereading these, I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't have remembered that. Elsie darling, and this is the 11th, January. I'm now at my new post with Harry, and it appears to be a very nice setup. However, it is general practice that I shall learn with whatever dermatology thrown in that comes along. It will be mainly dispensary work. However, I'm to get to do some things that I want to do, such as have access to a dark field microscope and try injecting some varicose veins. The building where we're to work is well equipped as the army goes and has central heating, which is a big help, as few buildings over here do have. I'm going to stop here. Upstairs, in a drawer that I can easily access, is a pair of his winter underwear over there. On very, very cold days, I have been known to wear it because I can. One time, he said, in England, I think it may be in some of these letters somewhere. I took my long winter underwear off today in July, and 2 days later, it said, I put my long winter underwear back on. That was part of his life. Now, I said I was going to tell you something. Oh, he ran into a colonel over there, or an army officer over there, and there was David, a major, a captain, dermatologist, and he said, "You shouldn't be a doctor." He was at KU with him, and anything, David was smart enough to be a doctor, and just bawled him out for being a doctor. Isn't that a nasty thing to do?
Huh.
You never know. People. I don't know where that is in around here. Our meals are good and are served in a lovely, large, old home. In fact, the camp is very modern and pretty. We have at present a brick house to ourselves. It contains 8 or 10 sleeping rooms. Each room has a gas heater in the fireplace and a washbowl with hot water. I also have plenty of blankets. Boy, what a plush place. I've forgotten this. The meals will only cost about $2 a week, if I understood the mess officer correctly.
The mules?
Meals.
Oh, meals.
All the officers have to wear their blouses at all times here, so that if I am here long enough, I shall possibly have to buy a second blouse. Now, in the closet where you are his army clothes. Right next to the back wall is a blouse. It's a dress coat, and it's in a khaki kind of a color, and you wore pinks with it, and the pinks are beautiful light trousers with the coat, and it was always a very good-looking outfit. And the pants are inside the coat, I think, hanging there, and you'll see what he's talking about. But they call them blouses, and you probably didn't know that. And also an extra pair of Oxford shoes. I shall get $6 for expense money traveling here. Last night, McLeese, he was some kind of a doctor. Oh, Gauvain McLeese. Oh, he was something else. Shapiro. And I had a glass of bitters beer at a nearby pub. And met some neighboring people who invited us over to their home for a snack. And lo and behold, served us two fresh poached eggs on toast. And were they good? Our first real eggs since our arrival here. I love you, dearest David. A fresh egg over there. They had dried eggs in the army, and how I remember when he first went overseas, went over to France, there was a raw egg there, and he just ate it raw. A real egg tasted so good. I have not as yet, this is the 13th, any of your letters since arriving at my new station, but I expect them to be forwarded and should receive them in the next few days. You see, everything starts out on whether he's heard from me. I really miss hearing
every single letter that I've read, even from World War I, kind of starts out that way too, from other people.
Hearing from you, and hope to get a letter tomorrow. I'm gradually getting acquainted around here, and one of the boys I work with knew Green at a camp before he came to Virginia. I've forgotten who Green was. Starting in the morning, I'm being put on a new job that will keep me pretty busy, and I'm glad of it. Harry has been sick with a bad cold, and today has been staying at our working quarters. He and I moved to another house yesterday where some of our associates are living, and I'm glad about the change. I like the new associates here very much, and most of them are seasoned veterans compared to me. We are to get our extra $100 uniform allowance in the near future, so that probably by the end of the month I shall send you a money order, so that I shall not have to keep a lot of extra cash in a bank over here. I took good care of it. We have good movies here about 3 nights a week free. Last night I saw a thrilling packed action picture, Desperate Journey, with Errol Flynn. We have a good Army newspaper daily that I take and like better than local papers. I really miss you and wish this thing were over. some of them are lighter than others. It was
the potato. I am just blown away that you can read these. You can read this. I'm just blown away.
Well, you mean, because I'm 88 and a half and
no,
I can read.
I can't read those. I cannot, the writing. I mean, I'm just blown away.
You mean with
that
your,
like
with
microfilm.
Your, with your
like
glasses?
Microfilm.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm blown away that you can read writing.
Well, I think you need to get your glasses changed.
No, I can't. I mean, these are for long distance. I can't.
Well, bifocals, these are old bifocals. And the top is straight. No problem. And then down here you look and your whatever you need is there.
Do you mean to turn on another light?
I couldn't read this little thing up here. It's been just 17 months today, darling. Must have been since our wedding.
17 months.
But it wasn't.
Since when?
Since we'd gotten married.
That's what he says?
Mm-hmm. 17 months today. It was the 14th.
So
14th of January. We married the 14th of August. I have been quite busy today getting a new thing set up. But as time goes on, I will get things organized better and not go running around like a chicken with its head off. The worst part is getting up about 6:15 a.m. He had a personality that he would stay up till 1, 2, and 3 in the morning every night. And then getting up was so hard because that's just the way he was. I moved to a sleeping porch because he would wake me up coming to bed at 1, 2, 3 o'clock.
What was he doing?
Hmm.
What was he doing?
Reading the sport page and writing all these beautiful handwritten things that he with for all of his patients.
You mean he was doing work?
Well, except that he knew everything that was ever in the sports section of the Kansas City Star. He was a sportsman at heart. He wanted to be a golf pro.
Did he play golf in his time off?
Sure. He won the. The doctors had tournaments, you know, all the time he was here, and he won them. Trophies and all that kind of thing. He beat all the men. He was a perfectionist for doing small things well, and he could putt. That's what we did. We didn't cohabit before in our engagement of 14 months. And Emma Price, in the apartment, Emma Price and I lived together, he would take a glass, a skinny glass, and turn it upside down, and from the edges of the carpet, we putted to see if we could hit the cup. Well, I'll tell you a funny story. And on dates, we would go out to putting clocks, and sometimes, but they were boring to him, miniature golf courses, but mainly to putting clocks, where there were 18 holes and they were placed all around and you putted to them. And I got so I could beat him time sometimes and beat him sometimes. Well, after we were married and children, when Ann was 5, we applied, and we were back in town here, we applied to Indian Hills Country Club. I'll show it to you tomorrow. And it took about a year to get in because so many wanted in. We were in. David was in 30 days. They wanted good golfers, and they knew he could play golf, which was nice. It had a swimming pool and all that. And when Ann was 16, I hadn't putted. They had their first big 4th of July celebration. It was kind of a family thing out there, and they had a mother-daughter contest. And Anne had, that girls wouldn't pay too much attention to David, but the boys are all. And I told you, Daysville, we're playing the old course at St. Andrews last week and other courses and good ones in Ireland. They were going to have a week in Ireland. They'll be getting back this weekend, I'm sure. So Anne and I entered She was maybe in a junior golf program. I don't know, but she never had her own. I don't think she ever had her own golf clubs. Maybe she did. I don't know. He wandered, but girls didn't take to it. But came. Ann was 16, and she was in high school, and they had a mother-daughter golf contest, and we just skunked them all. And I can hear women. I think women golfers are kind of tough. Women. I don't know if you know any, but
I don't. But I can imagine.
I could hear them. Who in the world is she? Have you ever seen her out here? They were furious they got beat. Isn't that funny? Because when we dated, we putted on the carpeting, and he said, if you can hit that glass, there's a kind of a gin drink glass that was tall and skinny, and Emma Price had a set of them. And we turned one upside down. I don't know why. It just stood there better and put at it. And he said, when you can hit this and get out on the golf course or a putting clock, the hole looks big to you, which it was.
Huh.
So we won the golf. Well, that's my golf. Bob, my three boys play golf, and they play for blood when they can get together.
That's wonderful.
They do.
So what's this letter? What's the year?
It's the 14th, and he says, it's been just 17 months today, darling.
Oh, this is the letter you just read.
Have I read the whole thing?
Well, you were reading it.
He was getting a thing set up. Oh, he's been getting up. The worst part is getting up about 6:15 a.m. That's where I sidetracked myself. That nothing would have been worse for him than getting up at 6:15 a.m. in the cold and walking to breakfast about a half mile away in the dark by the aid of a flashlight. Can't you just see him over there? And talking with some of the other officers, they have informed me that it may take a couple of weeks or so before I will be able to get any of your forwarded letters. But after the delay, I should get them fairly regularly. Mail was pretty important over there. Was over here, too. Harry is up on his feet today and feeling much better. It still rained a good deal, and the weather is quite warm, and it is surprising that there are not more colds and pneumonia. I had a chance to see Mrs. Miniver. Remember that movie? Oh, it's wonderful. If you ever can see, it's a war story. Mrs. Miniver is one of the most wonderful movies that they ever made tonight. But I left my flashlight at my office and so didn't want to venture out in the dark by myself. I hope you and your mother and father are well, and please give them my best regards. I am anxious to know what you are doing now and if you have landed a job yet. If you went to Kansas City, you could not drive the car, as I suppose it is put up for the duration as a pleasure car. I'm going to write to some of the fellows in our unit to keep in touch and see what progress is being made. Please find out if I have written Uncle Sid and Aunt Virginia, as I must do so if I have not. He'd forgotten if he'd written them. This mess can't end too soon, quick for me, etc. I'm going to come to an interesting time in these letters, I think. Another day has gone by and is beginning to look as though it will be some time yet before I shall be able to get your forwarded letters. But I shall appreciate them all the more when I do receive them. I had another busy day, although not as bad as yesterday, as we are getting things arranged better, and they are running the light is bad for me. Maybe I ought to go get a flashlight. Some of this printing is, well, that's good. Turn that one clear up three times.
Can we turn this one up too?
Yeah, if it didn't clear up. get this big one over here, which is a 100, 200, 300. So the first 100 doesn't work, and then it's 200 and 300. That helps.
Okay.
Thanks. He's talking about his work. I had another rather easy day, busy day, although not as bad as yesterday, as we are getting things arranged better. And they are running a little more smoothly. However, an alcohol stove that heats our sterilizer caught a linen sheet and hand towel on fire, and the tip of a 10cc syringe was accidentally broken off from the sterilizer when it was badly needed. But such things are all in a day's work and won't happen so often. I'm getting into a little better physical condition by walking 2 to 3 miles a day between my officer's mess hall and working quarters, plus 15 minutes of setting up exercises and or something, a drill each noon before lunch. We had another movie tonight that was, see, the government tried to entertain them a little bit. It was a double feature. It was about the battle at Midway, and the other was a picture about Alaska. We have movies 3 times a week in the living room of the building where the officer's mess is, and it is quite nice to just step out of the dining room and into a soft seat and see a movie. I have received no mail here yet, and so naturally have not heard from Mother. But from Uncle Warren's letter, she received my landed safeguard the day after you did. And surely she has received some of my letters. It's just too fine a print, and it's not anything interesting. Yesterday, this is the 17th, was a field.
17th of January, mm-hmm. 1943.
Mm-hmm. Was a field day for me. As Lawson came up, Lawson was an MAC, one of the secretaries. He probably got the mail. To a nearby town to visit with Harry, and brought us our mail. And I received 10 letters and Christmas cards. One was a card for Major Morgan at Pickett. I received 4 of yours. They had put in for a majority for him. It came through at some time, but I don't know when. I received 4 of your letters, and he said the dates from, and 3 from Mother, and cards from Miss Lana Rennebaum, a dear single German lady who with her mother's and dad's best friend in Middlesbrough, who drove them everywhere. And when I took Ann back from Kansas City to Pineville, she drove Mother and Dad to Corbin, Kentucky, where you either go on down to Jellicoe or you change trains to go on down the Pineville and Cumberland Gap area. That dear, and she's the one who taught me, and let me tell you this, you are you have children, one little one still. If, and I taught this to David, and the doctors over there didn't believe him, but they try it, they found out it worked. If you, your child falls and gets a hen egg or a raised place on a face, arm, leg, or anything, you don't go into the gash part, that where the skin severed, but you rub butter, a thin layer of butter all around it, and it will never turn dark. Never. And I was in a medical auxiliary wives meeting once. There was a woman there from England who had married an American a doctor over there that she met in World War II. And I can hear her now in her English brogue, "My dear, my husband and I had 7 children, and there was never any butter in our house. Oleo works just as well." You can always learn, and so oleo will do the same. One time I was...
What is oleo?
Oleo margarine, parquet.
Oh.
You what you use instead of butter in cakes and a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I've been a butter cook myself, but with big cakes and gingerbread, it's like where it takes a cup of shortening, I will use a stick of butter and a stick of margarine and, you know, cut it down that much. Works fine. That works.
So
what?
So this letter.
I was going to tell you something else, but I forgot that one. Boy, but my mind can get distracted easily. Well, at this age, and cards from Miss Lana Renabob and the Cages. Oh, at the Bainbridge, we had made new friends of the Cages. They had a little boy. Well, they were friends. He was not a doctor. "I hope you sent the latter couple a Christmas card. I surely was glad to get the letters, and especially yours. It had been nearly 10 days since I had heard from you. Your V-mail letter of the 27th was certainly newsy. I was glad to learn about Irene and sorry about Slocum. Irene was a friend married to a baby doctor, OBGYN, and they married about that time. And we had been married. Mother and Dad had come out and been and married in the living room of Frank Hodgson's home. And when she was gone with Frank, I had no place to live. And so we'd been engaged 14 months, and so the rector of St. Paul's Episcopal, a beautiful Episcopal church, and I'll get up and go with you to that because we were married there, came in Dr. Denny's office for a liver shot. He was on vacation where they go from here up to Ludington, Michigan, on Lake Michigan. Many ministers go up there for their summer vacations on Lake Michigan at Ludington. It's farther north than Grand Haven, where my dad's from. And he whispered to David, "Reverend Trelease is out there," because Emma Price had gotten married. This was Tuesday, on, you know, just a very, very few days later, after her marriage, and maybe the next day. "And why don't you see if he could marry you?" So when he came in to get his liver shot and David gave him his shot, he asked him if he would marry us. And he said, "Well, I have to counsel you before the wedding, so many days before the wedding, and I can marry you. The funeral that I have come back from Ludington was a high member of his church, and he'd come back to do the service. We'll be over, and I can marry you in the church, up in the church altar where the choir sits, at 4:30 on Thursday afternoon." That was David's afternoon off. Dr. Denny was on a 6 weeks vacation, and David had the whole office to see to, hot and blazes. And so they agreed to do it. And he said, "And don't be late." Well, we got there. That day, David's afternoon off, I took the streetcar in my MedTech uniform, white, down to his office and down clear downtown. And we went to Jackard's jewelry store and bought the wedding ring. We had to go up and get the license. You could be married right there. You didn't have to get it ahead like you subsequently have had to. And we went over to a giant I call it a dime store. It wasn't. It was a great big, but it had a food counter down there, and we didn't have much time. We went and we had some lunch, and we drive? We went up in his car. We drove back to Armour Boulevard and went to a lovely flower shop and got a chrysanthemum corsage for me and I think one for our mothers, etc. Meantime, he had to call his mother and tell her, you know, can imagine this very difficult woman, her only child marrying this girl that didn't wear white. I had a new princess, and it looked good on me, light blue dress I'd gotten in Middlesbrough before I'd gone out, with a princess coat matching, and that's what I got married in. And he called his mother, and Warren and Jean came, and I told a few of my friends, and they sat in the choir loft seats, and we had a beautiful wedding. And we always loved our little wedding without all those bridesmaids and all that trouble and everything. We think that, and he said an awful lot of those weddings blow up, but I never did. Did you have a giant wedding?
No.
Big one? Well, everybody doesn't do it the same way. Well. Where was I? It was certainly a terrible shock to learn of the Congregational Church fire. That was what you can see on the hill up there. I hope to get the details from Mother. No, that was the fire that burned up the Congregational Church he was raised in Emporia, Kansas, and they had to build a new church. Certainly tough about Emma Price, and I surely hope she has her baby successfully. She must have nearly had, I don't think she did, because she didn't have Ted till after Ann came. Isn't it funny, I'd forgotten about that. Send a gift to the Millers, please. I'm anxious to get your sweater, as I'll bet it is a peach. Well, it was a plain old sweater, khaki, sleeveless. I have worn your muffler a great deal. It was khaki, even to bed, and like it. I hope to be getting your Christmas photo too in the near future, and I'm surely grateful to have the two pictures of you already. It was mighty nice of your Aunt Cora, Dad's sister, she lived in Grand Haven in Detroit, Michigan, to send you some kind of cream ladle, as I'll bet it is a beauty. Silver cream ladle. Tell Ida Ramsey that her beanie has certainly been useful, as I've slept in it regularly every night. And I also practically always sleep in the lovely socks that you knitted for me. I needed knitted socks. Mother Morgan taught me German knitting. You don't knit in purl on that.
What do you do, purl? Just purl?
I don't ask me what you did. I don't remember. Yeah, I think so. Mother said they had an 11-inch snow in early December. I have been quite busy here lately, but will be glad to get back with our outfit, etc. And he went with Harry Ramsey to, and I don't know, I thought it was later, to a place where he learned to drive every British vehicle, and they did all this drilling and kind of stuff. And when he got back to his unit, he was appointed drill sergeant, and he had to drill all the nurses and doctors and march them in parades. And I can't imagine David doing that, but then he did that. Another day is just about concluded. This is the 18th, but I have not been quite so busy. Thus, I am just another day near to the end of this terrible strife, and then we can be together again and start life again where we left off and be contented and happy. This war can't end too fast to suit me. so that I can be with you again. My late day off from medicine for several weeks has apparently made me a bit rusty. And maybe that's when they went to that place to learn all that stuff, drill stuff. And I was chagrined to have missed a case of a little unusual psoriasis recently. But I know that mistake won't happen again. In regard to questions in your recent letters, I would like you to keep my watch running regularly. And also, I never did hear from the Casey Narcotic License Bureau and would appreciate your writing to them to find out if everything is satisfactory. And also to tell them that I did not get my license. I saw in a box up there just last night or night before where all that came through. Also, I've never heard from Mr. Hodson, that's Frank's father, as to whether he ever brought up my city tax bill to be reduced if possible. He said if you're in the service, you could be reduced. I've not had a chance to use my bed lamp, as I would have to buy a step-down transformer. Voltage is 230 over here, and also a different type of plug, three prongs. I guess I said he had one when he went overseas. I'm glad you have a bed lamp and enjoy it. I hope you have received your November and December allotments by now. Not take some of the money out of our savings account and put it in the checking account that you have in Middlesboro. I'm going to send you so much money at the end of the month. Well, data. Now, this is the 18th. In regard to your allotment, don't you want me to skip all that stuff? I talked about it with an officer who lives in my house, and he said that his wife did not receive her first one for 3 months. See, he only kept about $26 a month, and all the rest came over to me. And I saved it.
That's great.
And that's how we got this house.
What a great
plan. Yeah. Please don't worry about it. I'm sending in my application tonight for my extra $100 for uniform allowance, and I should receive it in a week. He had to buy his stuff before he went overseas. I went up to the place where he bought it. It was a PX kind of a place. Taken at the end of the month, I'll send you some more money. Because I have very little to spend money for around here. My mess bill runs about 90 cents a day. And my laundry, dry cleaning, haircuts, and weekly visit to the PX for my ration of peanuts. He loved peanuts. Popcorn was his favorite, though. Gum. I brought a carton of blackjack with me. He liked blackjack. He liked licorice. From the States. Candy, tomato juice. Fresh fruits are practically unheard of. Candy, tomato juice, and fresh fruits are practically unheard of. And cookies, cigarettes, and any toilet articles needed are about all I can spend my money for here, as leaves are infrequent going off on trip at this post. If I'm here for some time, I hope to visit Larry some weekend. He was an Italian who had gotten married to Kay, as he is now in a town not so very far from here. I will probably have more work to do for the next 2 days, as one of the medical officers is taking a little vacation. I saw Mrs. Miniver Saturday night and thoroughly enjoyed it. There's a free movie here at some site on the post every night, so that if I wished, I could get caught up. Have you been to any in Middlesboro? I've never been to very many movies. I hope your father is feeling better and that your mother is well.
Well, what's he referring to there? I hope your father is feeling better.
I really don't know, but this was because he died. I really don't know. But he filled with fluid at some point.
Is this when your father's getting ready to die? Does he die when your husband's over there serving?
Mm-mm. No.
How many kids did you have?
Hmm?
How many kids did you have?
Did I have?
Yeah, before your father died.
You mind if I think?
Sure.
Let me get
some
water. I had forgotten when I got this letter. Just received 8 letters, and he needs the dates today of yours, and you just can just imagine how jittery and excited I became when I read the last one of the 5th. To tell you the truth, I am terribly proud and happy to learn about this most unexpected event, and I shall be thinking about you and a new addition to our family every minute I can, and will also pray every night that everything will come out successfully, and I really feel certain that it will, and I shall come home safely when this mess is all over, so that we can begin a new chapter in our lives together then. I was so excited this morning that I just had to tell Harry. I told him not to tell Ida or the 110th yet, and a few fellow officers. One was a post surgeon, Captain Bernard Pisani of New York City, and a GYN and OB specialist, and a good one. His wife just had a successful rapid fire 1.5 hour labor, 8 months pregnancy in October, and he was here then. He recommended that you stay home and forget all about a job, but suggested that you go to Knoxville. I believe it is the largest nearby city to you, to see a good qualified OB man there, around 40 to 45 years old, to be thoroughly checked over. You might write to EP. I was shocked to read of her and Frank's misfortune. I'm sure she lost that baby. To ask Ganey to recommend an MD there. Then the Knoxville MD can probably recommend a reliable MD general practitioner in Middlesboro to you. I'm also writing you airmail a letter for you to take to the MD in Knoxville. Don't go until you get this letter. I never went to Knoxville. I am a changed man now. Oh, my love, David. Isn't that funny? And here's this letter, which I had totally forgotten. I'm glad to read that, which I found in here. Maybe this isn't it. No, this isn't it. Where is that letter? Well, it's in this pack somewhere.
I didn't find it? Or?
No. This one is February 9th.
1943?
Mm-hmm. I'm sending you some clippings from the Army Daily Paper, the Stars and Stripes. We're going to go upstairs, and it won't take long. And right by the stairs, we can open his footlocker, and it's never been unpacked. And some Stars and Stripes are in there. That's the Army magazine. The Yank, as I thought that some of them might interest you. I think it tells about the ship he went over on, Queen Mary.
Huh.
They found it. They wrote it up in what had happened, you know, that it hit this big wave and been scary. And also that possibly you could work up a smile or two from the cartoons. If you like, I shall send you more of the same from time to time. I believe that I now remember Mrs. Weems' joke. That's a dirty joke.
Oh, please tell it.
No, I don't like it. War widows, we could get along without the meat, without meat all day, but not the bones at night. That'll be one for your husband. It's a World War II story. And let me tell you something sad. They lived not too far from Camp Pickett, and they invited a whole bunch of his friends, Dr. Weems, the surgeon, general surgeon, lived, and you had to pass Thomas Jefferson's. Oh, gosh, this is World War II and man for you. We had to pass Thomas Jefferson's Monticello in order to get to the Weems house. And they had two little boys, darling little boys, and we had a wonderful dinner there and a wonderful day there. And we had a carload of, you see, we had a car there, and I don't know who all, what all the officers went, but we had a wonderful dinner in a real southern atmosphere there.
This is in Charlottesville, Virginia.
No, Charlottesville is on the other side. No, this is Eastern Virginia, and I've forgotten the name of the town. I'm sorry, but I probably have some place I could find it, but I've forgotten it. It was real close to Thomas Jefferson's home. If I had a map, I guess I could tell. And we had a wonderful day there. Two precious little boys. And she was pregnant when he sailed and had a third boy. And soon after the war, they divorced. Huh. How sad for him and for her.
Do you know what happened?
No, I think.
No idea?
I think she probably caused the divorce. I'm sure he wouldn't have. I don't think he did. Isn't that sad? Well,
that is sad.
So many things happened. Well, that's World War II. This is the 22nd. I have seemingly regained my composure today, and yesterday's news almost seems like a dream. You know, I've forgotten all these letters. I've forgotten them. I had morning sickness. It was the worst of anything. I never worked a day. I couldn't.
Your
I was too
Dad
sick.
Could take care of you.
Well, I just had to not eat. I could stay with them, pay my own way, and I had the car and everything, but I couldn't go to work and earn. And Mother had said, well, the baby wasn't born, but it just, that's the way it was. I couldn't. And I never did go to work. I worked 2 weeks after I got my med tech degree. That was all. Because, I worked in a doctor's office substituting because I had to go back to Berea. Because I was coming out, was already set up to come out here, so I forget all those details. But it's been perfectly wonderful to know my way around a hospital and things. And I've seen some interesting things. I have totally forgotten these letters while I was sick. Except one of the boys who lives in the same house with me called me Pop this evening. See, I don't remember this at all. It just doesn't seem possible. I will be glad when you get my V-mail and also airmail letters of yesterday. And I hope it will be possible for you to follow out those directions, so that I will feel more secure about your care. Although I'm sure the physician that you have already gone to is a reliable man and knows what the score is. I told you he was a wonderful doctor, but that he drank. I think you should also look around for some books. Oh, he believed in books. On how to raise a child. God. After his spoiled brat raising. After you have told Mother the news, you might ask her to rummage through the boxes we brought home last summer, especially the blue one, as it has an advertisement on just such a book that I had saved for just such an occasion. I don't know what that book was. It was nice of Pauline Jack. She was one of my teachers in med tech school. To offer you the job. Oh, that she offered me a job down in Oklahoma. But I don't want you to work now. And you should have enough to make out on. And I shall try to send you some of my surplus every 2 to 3 months. As I will not waste very much of it. And well, he had to have some social life. He didn't need to do that. And so far, I've certainly not needed $75 a month. I will send you send you about $200 in the next week or two with my extra uniform allowance and your mileage. It looks like CP mileage is about the biggest part of it, and I don't know what that is. Mother writes that Uncle Arthur and Dixie are to be married the last of January. It seems almost incredible after going together over 20 years.
Who are they?
David's Uncle Arthur, Winifred's, his mother's youngest brother. He was in World War I. He never married. In the ordnance department, he worked on the rail, getting the guns and ammunition. And he never married. And he slept on the back porch of two of her sisters' home in Los Angeles. And he went with Dixie. She refused to marry him until her mother died. She took care of her mother. It was 20 years. And let me tell you this. They were buried in a park. Cremains were put under a tree in some park. And when Frank died, you know, they had more than we did and all that kind of thing. But Frank Hodgson was tight in lots of ways. And M. Price went along with it. And now, we were frugal. But there was a tightness. But he had everything, you know, expensive that he wanted. But in some ways, some people are like that. And when he died, he was cremated. And Emma Price planted a tree in his memory. And the cremains are under the tree. And I think I saw it once. And then her cremains are under the tree. And so I don't go out there. There's something. It's not too awfully far away. But I don't go out to her grave or that. That's just the way it is. But she apparently lost her baby because Anne's older than Ted.
I want to get a couple of pictures of your husband when he was, because I just want to understand, like, just to see what he looks like as you're reading these. Do you mind if I look at?
Well, aren't there some over there?
Of your husband?
Well, go get that.
Do you mind?
There is a. Little plastic bag full of army pictures. Bring it. I put them together not long ago because I've got to make his army scrapbook. You see, I get the big things done, but something to sit and do that with, and with all the interruptions I have in the day, and all, I don't get. I've got to make myself do it at my age.
Okay.
I don't know whether to burn up these letters or not, or let the kids get them.
You need to donate them to some kind of institution.